Fuzzy TV.
A credit where credit is due, a believer from Ohio named Larry Schuler sent me this really great piece of writing. It was his own, about how Christians think they're better than Israel. And this is epidemic from institutional believers of all eras. They think they're better than the previous era, and that God is now entrusting them, the Christians think, entrusting them with what Israel couldn't do because they're much more trustworthy. And there's nothing wrong with the law. And of course, well, of course, there is nothing wrong with the law. But the Christians look back at the Jews and say, well, they just weren't able to do it properly. Finally, the law will be in the hands of people who are serious. We take these things seriously. Those Israelites didn't. That's why we're the new Israel. That's why we're the replacement for Israel. That's why we're spiritual Israel. All this self-delusion and self-righteousness, it really smells terrible. But let's talk about it, just so we can recognize it when it raises its ugly head and avoid it. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to MZTV. Larry Schuler and his father, Larry Sr., are both believers. Great guys. I've met them both. They live near Youngstown, Ohio, and they're just the real deal. Just like you are. And I know Larry used to comment all the time, and I think he got kicked. I think YouTube kicked him off. He gets pretty outspoken once in a while, which is what I like about the guy. Good job, Larry. I don't want to get kicked off YouTube because this is a great platform from which the truth can go forth. Copy paste. Send these shows to your friends and soon-to-be ex-friends, which are the same people. Okay, this is what Larry wrote to me in an email. These Christians are better than Israel? Not. Here's what Christians are really saying. Oh, that's evil Israel. Those wicked people rejected and crucified Christ. If we were living back then, we would not have done that. We would have accepted Jesus just as we do now. We would have chose to follow him and obey him. This is why God has permanently rejected Israel and replaced them with us Christians. We are the spiritual Israel. We have replaced those wicked Christ rejectors. Larry comments, my, oh my, how deluded these Christians are. Yes, I agree with that. Even back in the day, Jesus said, no man comes to him except the Father draws. He also told his disciples that they did not choose him, but he chose them. And again, Jesus said, God blinds people and hides truth from people. Christians don't believe that, of course. They think they're the exception to every scriptural rule, including there's no one righteous, no, not one. They're the exception. They are the exception in their own minds. They are legends in their own minds. In their own minds, they are the Israel replacements. And in their own minds, they are the generation. The youth, it must be the music. It must be that worship music that inspires them to great feats of law-keeping. And they're the ones that are finally going to do it right. Larry says, oh, but not the Christians. Their righteous free will chose Christ in opposition to what Christ said, that to his disciples, they did not choose him, he chose them, and that God blinds people and hides truth from people, especially from the mainstream. Oh, but not the Christians. Their righteous free will chose Christ. Larry finishes this way, they are exalting themselves above Israel and the rest of humanity. The self-righteousness is unspeakable. And yet, Larry speaks eloquently of it. It is pretty bad, the self-righteousness. But this is what's behind this whole replacement theology business. This whole, really, it's epidemic now. It's like a virus. It's a disease. The self-righteousness has seeped into especially this generation. And it's just like communism. You find the students in college today, they're being taught by these leftist professors, and they're being taught communist theory, Marxism, and all these horrible things, Leninism. And The problem, they think, with communism is it's just that the right generation hasn't been entrusted with these great truths of the redistribution of wealth. And see, if power were concentrated in their hands, you see, they would be able to apportion it properly. They would be able to rule the world in righteousness. It's just that these communist theories, you see, have not been properly executed, and they're the generation that are going to do it right. And of course, Larry brings out these absolute truths that we did not choose Christ. Christ chose us, and these college kids reject the absolute political truth, which is power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. They think that they are pure. They cannot be corrupted because they're so idealistic, because they live in this fantasy world. Christians live in a fantasy world. College kids generally live in a fantasy world. It's the infection of youth, really, that they're unconquerable, they cannot die, that the whole world looks to them, and they're going to finally be the ones that bring about the nirvana upon the earth, bring about the peace and plenty that humanity has longed for these many years. And of course, that was what the whole peace movement was about, the Woodstock generation. What did those people accomplish, really? They recorded some great music, and they invented some great clothes. But these are the people who today are the lefties. So ironic that those who are against war and pro-free speech and freedom and everything, these are the ones that are lusting after the levers of government so as to take away free speech and to initiate wars so that they can enrich themselves and lord it over other human beings. What happened to Woodstock, dude? Get back to the garden, man. You were better off back then in 69 than you are today. Listen to what Jesus had to say about this phenomenon in Matthew chapter 23, and I'm in verse 28. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. Well, let's start with verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are resembling... What you're going to find here as I read this passage is that nothing has changed. Every generation thinks that they are the people, that they will undo the mistakes of their forefathers, they will perfect the walk, they have more resources, they're smarter, they have the internet. Of course, the Pharisees didn't have the internet, but it doesn't matter. Every generation thinks that whatever tools it has that the previous generation didn't have are going to enable them to exceed all expectations. And finally, the people are here. The people have arrived. We are the people. Wisdom dies with us. We are the ones who will, in the case of the Christians, bring the kingdom to earth. In the case of the communists, bring utopia to the planet. Ends up being dystopia every time. And with the religious folks, it also ends up being a dystopia, were God to actually let them rule. Well, here we have, in a microcosm, the high priests were ruling in Jerusalem. What did these brilliant people do with all their degrees and their whitewashed sepulchers and all their prayers and their dedications and their following the law? They crucified the Son of God. Ooh, it sounds a little dystopic to me. Yeah, better get back to the garden. Yeah, yes, Jesus was put in the garden tomb. Yeah, the Woodstock tomb. I think Jesus would have liked Woodstock, but it really degenerated. Nothing was accomplished politically then. It was just a letting go. It was a free-for-all. It didn't accomplish anything politically. There was the anti-war movement. That was good. That was good, actually. It did send a message. But again, these same people, when they, quote, grew up, unquote, are now the ones that are pushing for the state, the power of the state. That only their ideas are the ones that ought to be considered, and all their ideas need to be censored, need to be, all dissension needs to be shut down. Because these people didn't learn much in college. They just can't argue a point. And when they can't argue a point, same thing with the Christians. When they can't argue a point, they resort to destruction. Scorched earth. They resort to killing their enemies. And we're going to see that here. The forefathers of the Pharisees killed the prophets. The Pharisees killed Christ. And the religious people today would kill us if they could. But murder is illegal in most states, so they ostracize us. They separate us from our families, like my son Paul has done. It's a form of crucifixion. They don't want different ideas. Not different ideas. They don't want the truth. They want to maintain the status quo institution. They think there's power in the institution. They think college kids, religious people, they think the institution is a confirmation that they're right. They think that the power of the system, the nobility of the name of the college, the starched diploma and the degrees on their wall, they think that in these things is great power. In these things is a verification by God of their wisdom, of their self-righteous goals to be the people, the administrators. But we know who the future administrators are. Us. We are the future administrators of both heaven and earth. There will be Israel administrators directly on the earth, of course, David, the 12, the patriarchs, but we will be administering both heaven and the earth. And what are we now? We are the lowest. We are the freedom lovers. We are the grace teachers. We correctly cut the word of truth. We love the truth of the salvation of all. We love the truth that everyone eventually comes in. We want to see everyone saved. These people don't. No, they don't. They're jealous. They're like the elder brother who is jealous of his father's affection for the younger brother who went off and sinned, came back, felt bad. His father threw him a party. Kid didn't like that. The older kid didn't like it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are resembling the whitewashed sepulchers, which outside indeed are appearing beautiful, yet inside they are crammed with the bones of the dead and all uncleanness. And I'm in Matthew chapter 23. That was verse 28. This is verse 29, getting to my main point. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are building the sepulchres of the prophets and adorning the tombs of the just. And you are saying, if we were in the days of our fathers, we would not be participants with them in the blood of the prophets. That's exactly what Larry Schuler said that the Christians are saying. If we would have been alive in the time of Christ, we would have accepted Jesus, just like we do now. They think they do, but they are Jesus rejectors. They reject the Christ who saved the world at the cross. They reject him, completely reject him. They are worshiping another Jesus. We would have accepted Jesus as we do now. We would have chosen to follow him and obey him. They are convinced that if they had lived in the time of Christ, they would have followed Christ and obeyed him. But I know for a fact that they would not. How do I know that? Because we moderns, we are speaking the words of Christ, the saving words of Christ. We are speaking the words of the glorified Christ spoken through the Apostle Paul, that where grace, that where sin abounds, grace superabounds. That God is conciliated to the world, that the old humanity was crucified through Christ, that through the blood of the cross he will reconcile all things to himself, both that in the heavens and that on the earth through the ecclesia. These are words of grace. These are words of all-encompassing salvation. And they hate us for that. And yet we're speaking the words of Christ. So the audacity of these people, hey, if you want to think, if you want to at least entertain reasonably that you would have accepted Christ back in the day, why don't you accept him now? They think they do, but they don't. They're in love with the institution. They hate his word. They teach as teachings the directives, the doctrines of humans and not of God. They love their traditions, not the truth. That was the indictment against the Pharisees in the first century. That's the indictment of Christians today. We would have chosen to follow him and obey him. This is why God has permanently rejected Israel and replaced them with us Christians. We are the spiritual Israel. Like you took a vitamin pill, you took a self-righteousness pill, and now you're going to do what Israel failed to do. You're the new Israel. You're high-tech. No, what you are is you're high-tech unbelievers. You're high-tech lawbreakers. You're high-tech hypocrites. High-tech hypocrites. There's a great statement. I want to see that bumper sticker on every car of every Christian in America. I'm a high-tech hypocrite. You have all the advantages of all the Bibles and the translations and the concordances and the websites, and you're just as much a hypocrite as those Jews in the day who said, all that the Lord, at the foot of Mount Sinai, all that the Lord has said, we will do. And 15 minutes later, they're all dancing around the calf. Christians say, well, we won't never dance around the camp. Yeah, but you will ostracize God's chosen. You will cut off from your family God's teachers and God's evangelists and Christ's teachers and Christ's evangelists because you think you are the people and wisdom arises with you. If you really want to suffer for Christ, try believing what we believe, Christians. Try believing in the salvation of all, in the complete sovereignty of God, in the conciliation of the world, that God is now at peace with the world, that all things will eventually return to God, that God will be all in all. Try teaching that. You want to suffer evil with the evangel? You want to see what you're made of? Okay. Try that. We have replaced those wicked Christ rejectors. No, you're just a new set of Christ rejectors. The names have changed. That's it. The Pharisees have never changed. The Pharisaic self-righteous attitude has never changed. Just the name has changed and the dress has changed. They don't dress the same. They're the same exact people. Because listen to what Jesus says next. Back to Matthew 23. If we were in the days of our fathers, we would not be participants with them in the blood of the prophets. And Jesus answers, he says to them, so that you are testifying to yourselves that you are the sons of those who murder the prophets, and you fill full the measure of your father. Do you realize what he's saying here? He's saying, fill full the measure of your father. In other words, go ahead and do what they did. In other words, he's basically prophesying his death at their hands. That's what he's doing here. And every generation says, we wouldn't have been that way. You see, the Pharisees, the religious people, the institutional people of Jesus' day say the same things that the Christians said today, only they say it concerning the prophets of old, concerning Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. They were persecuted, those guys. Those guys were persecuted by the religious mainstream. The religious, the spiritual minority will always be persecuted by the religious mainstream, always. Nothing has changed. That is God's big, fat, hairy, glorious, predictable rut. I mean, it happens down the line. And here it is. It happens down the line. They build the tombs. Oh, we love the prophets. Oh, the prophets are heroes. Isaiah, Jeremiah. The only reason they loved those prophets in Jesus' day is because they were then famous, because hundreds of years had gone by. And they didn't have to deal with these pains in the ass back in the day. So now they were famous and they got the rose-colored glasses of a few hundred years gone by. And now they're adorning the tombs of the prophets. Oh, we love the prophets. And they actually said, if we had been back in that day, we would have treated the prophets better. Oh, those terrible forefathers of ours. Oh, forefathers? Jesus puts his finger right there and says, yes, they are your forefathers. In what way? In the way that just like they killed the men of God, you are going to kill the man of God. You're going to kill me. Fill full the measure of your father. Well, their father was the adversary. But their fathers were of the adversary and that they persecuted and killed the prophets. Well, we wouldn't have done that. Sure, Pharisees. I don't think so because you're about to kill the Son of God. Uh-oh. Looks like you would have killed the prophets. Looks like the only reason you adorn the tombs of the prophets today is because of some fuzzy, feel-good idea you have now of how the prophets were. And, oh, shame on your forefathers for hassling and killing the prophets. No, you'd have done the very same thing. And Christians today who say, oh, if we had been in the time of Jesus, we would have loved to be in the time of Paul. We would have been followers of Paul. If Paul, we would have been at all Paul's meetings. I would have loved to have made coffee at Mary's house, and we would have been in all the Bible studies. Ooh, no, you wouldn't, you freaking whitewashed sepulchers, you hypocrites, you brood of vipers. No, you would not. And I can prove it. It's because you persecute those who today teach Paul. You persecute us. You don't want to hear anything about it. You don't want to hear of the salvation of all taught by Paul. You don't want to hear of the conciliation of the world taught by Paul. You don't want to hear of God operating all things in accord with the counsel of his will taught by Paul. You don't want to hear of the crucifixion of the old humanity and that all things have been made new and that sin cannot now interfere with the spiritual life of any believer. You don't believe that. You still think that sin can damn someone to hell. You don't know anything about Paul. You hate Paul. The only reason you think you like Paul today is because he has that, the 2,000 years have gone by. He's now a celebrity. He wasn't a celebrity back then. He was a pain in the ass. Now he's a celebrity. Now they make movies about him. He's on TV. Paul is. They make movies about Paul and about Peter. Oh, these are your Bible heroes. Bible heroes. Oh, if we had just been in the days of our Bible heroes, we would have followed our Bible heroes. No, you would have hassled them and killed them if you could have. You would have shouted against them. Just like you would have been shouted against Christ. Crucify him, crucify him. You would have shouted against him. You would have said that, Christian. You would have been there at the Praetorium. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Why? Because he was the radical. See, he wasn't famous then. He was infamous. He taught against the mainstream church, and you are all about the mainstream church. All these persecutors are all about the mainstream church. That's their thing, being accepted by the popular religion. And anything strange that comes into town, like this ugly man from Nazareth, oh no, he's trouble. He's trouble. He's taking people away from church. He's telling people that maybe going to church isn't the best thing. Maybe you can find an independent walk with God. Maybe you can go directly to your Father, and you don't need the intermediary of these hypocrites and these vipers in Jerusalem. And maybe the next time I go to Jerusalem, they're going to put me on a cross to get rid of me. Yeah, those are your forefathers, Christians. Those are your forefathers. And you are repeating the sins of your forefathers by persecuting us, by persecuting those who are ambassadors of God and of Christ, as of God entreating through us. When we say, be conciliated to God, but you hate that message because you embrace and cherish the hope that your enemies will be burned in hell for eternity. You want that to happen. You love that message. It tickles your hearing, and you will heap up teachers who will teach that crap, that apostasy, that satanic message. You will heap up teachers to do that, and you do it every single day. And then when a teacher comes along, when a strange teacher comes along in his car or in his kitchen and says something different than what you hear your institutionally trained pastor say, that man's an enemy. That man's, he's weird, he's off, he's not with the mainstream, he's not with us. We can't crucify him. It's not legal in most states, but we can ostracize him. We can persecute him in many, many, many other ways. We can make him feel very, very bad. We can take away his family. We can take away his money. We can take away his reputation. Fill full the sins of your fathers.